Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, January 13th. And today we have photographer Roy Cox joining us today. But before we speak with Roy, we just want to remind you that our call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And before we talk to Roy, also, Denise has some beauty news she wants to share.
Just some quick things really quickly. Just a reminder, IMAX LA is going to take place January 19th through 20th in Pasadena, California at the Pasadena Convention Center. Also, they will have a pro-only event on the 18th at the Convention Center as well. So for more information or to purchase your tickets, www.imats.net. That's IMATS.net. Join us next week for a discussion on how to market yourself as a freelance artist with Donna Mee. She was on with us a few weeks back. She's going to come back to talk about how to market yourself as a freelance artist. Excuse me. And joining us in the Beauty Lounge next week for a red carpet recap of the Golden Globe Awards will be Miss Lisa Brown Hall. Some of you may know her as Ghetto Fashionista on Twitter. But she will join us in the Beauty Lounge for like a quick 10 to 15 minute recap of the Golden Globes. And last but not least, the Organic and Natural Beauty Show takes place on June 2nd and 3rd of this year at Excel in London. For more information on that, you can go to thenaturalbeautyshow.com.
All right. Well, Roy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. We're glad to have you on tonight, our first photographer.
Yay!
Oh, wow. Okay, well, now I feel really important.
So we're just going to jump right into the conversation. We always ask people to tell how they started in their craft. So can you just share with our audience a little bit about how you started as a photographer and when you started as a photographer?
Sure. Well, I actually went into still photography in 2002. I was at, it's kind of funny, well, before 2002, I was a cinematographer and a Steadicam operator. And
cool.
I was in production first. So it's, it's sort of the same thing. It's just, it's moving, it's moving and talking. And I did a lot of lighting work. I was a gaffer, grip, things like that. And then the weird thing was, I went to Mardi Gras. I was dating this very odd girl at the time, but that's a whole other radio show. But anyway, I went to Mardi Gras with this girl, and I took a camera with me just for fun, like a point-and-shoot camera, and there were so many things to photograph, and I loved the city so much. I loved the French Quarter so much. I went into a pawn shop, bought a reasonably nice camera, used camera, and just took thousands and thousands of pictures over the course of that week and the Mardi Gras holiday. When I got back 2 weeks later, I quit my job and decided I was going to take still photos for the rest of my life. So it happened very quickly. 3 months later, I signed a 3-year lease on my first studio. I didn't have a nickel to put into this. I had a very, very small cash loan from my family at the time, and I didn't have a single client. yet I had a 3-year lease. I had furniture and no money. And then I basically started one head at a time. I did everything completely myself. I never went to school for this. And I would shoot a person that would turn into 3 people. 3 turned into 8. And 1 year later, I had to hire somebody to assist with the phone calls and my website and things like that. And 10 years later, I'm well over 10,000 people I've shot.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's been a crazy ride, yes.
So many
I've been
questions
doing this full time,
just for the first
2 minutes.
Just for the first, I have so many questions. Okay, so you said you went from being a Steadicam operator?
Yeah, I did Steadicam and video and film production.
Okay. Now, I know with the Steadicam, carrying that camera and just having that, what is it called, a harness or something? Just having that.
Yeah, it's like a rig. We used to call it Steadicam rig, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, all of that stuff is heavy. How do you, I mean, how do you move with the camera? Because most Steadicam operators I see, most of them I see are, like, so skinny. And I'm like, how do you carry that?
It's funny you said that because the person who taught me the most about how to do Steadicam right was actually this very small woman. She was about 5'4". And she was one of the best Steadicam operators around. And once you get used to wearing it, after that, it's relatively simple. You get used to carrying it. And it's a little bit of an art. It's kind of like dancing and learning how to basically you're learning how to use the Steadicam. It takes a while, but it's a very specific art form. And the problem with it is that it's one of those things where not all productions are going to use it. So I found that it was such a niche thing and I wasn't going to work all the time. And the investment at the time in the gear was so astronomical that I was like, oh, I need to do some other things at the same time. So I started doing video things also because that was a lot more regular than the people who would hire a big Steadicam, you know, rig, you know, so...
Now, that's a good point. Can you explain why a production would want to hire a Steadicam operator as opposed to
it's a shot that you see all the time. When someone's walking down the hallway, a lot of times the camera's not on dolly. It's not on tracks. It's someone walking next to them with a Steadicam. The cool thing now is that Steadicams have become so regular, modern Steadicams have become so regular, some of them are a lot smaller because now they even make Steadicam. The Steadicam brand is now even made for digital SLRs. If you look at watch a football game on the side of the field, a lot of times you'll see a Steadicam guy running up and down the field, you know. But a lot of times productions use Steadicam operators and directors love to design Steadicam shots because it's still one of those things it's different than a dolly shot and it's certainly different than a still shot. It just gives you that weird, I'm right there with the actor, especially in an action scene, running right along with him, yet the camera doesn't bounce, it doesn't move, it just kind of flows. It's a very cool flow to it, yeah.
Cool.
But I like stills a lot better, I found, you know. Well, that was my problem with production, is that I found I was working on things for 4 months at a time, 5 months at a time. And it was great. Don't get me wrong. It was great. But when I started taking stills, I realized that I'm meeting someone new every single day. I'm working on a different project every single day. And I think that's why I was so attracted to making the switch. And when I started taking stills, I realized, hey, half of what I did in production applies to this now, my life. Right. And I think that's one reason why maybe I had early success with this, because my lighting style came from a film production, almost cinematic type of kind of thing going on. And instead of traditional photography lighting, I was lighting things more like I used to light it in a scene in a film. And I think that's what helped me make that transition and helped make my work stand out a little bit more than the average, say, portrait studio guy at the time, you know.
Absolutely. That's one of
the
things that
marketing.
I love. Right. Well, that's one of the things that I love about your work is your lighting hook. That's interesting because I never knew you came from a production background, but that's perfect.
See,
I
knew that.
I ran a teleprompter in college as my part-time job. I used to travel to D.C. all the time and do teleprompter for political conferences, things like that. That was one of the most grueling. Oh, that was one of the worst jobs I ever had. Because back then it was not a MacBook Pro. It was this giant old-school Mac Quadra beast of a thing that you rolled around on the cart. Yeah, it wasn't one of those cool little slim things you see now that the president looks at. It was like some big, obnoxious, get this guy out of the way kind of prompter. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah,
oh,
I've done a lot of different jobs in production I've had. Well, put it this way. I have been working in production since I was, I would say, 21 years old, and I'm 38 now.
Wow.
I've never had another job outside of production since I was about 21 or 22.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm quite familiar with doing shoots. Yeah.
Well, with all of that being said, you know, your production background and what you're doing now, what do you think makes a great photographer?
That's an interesting question because I'm sure you'll get a lot of different answers. And most of the answers that you're going to get, I think, are what people love most about themselves as a photographer. But really, you know, it's funny. I've been studying this business. I've been doing stills now for, 10 years. This past October that just passed was my 10-year to the day mark, October 1st. And, you know, and the business is it's a weird beast. It's a very, very difficult thing to get into full-time, make it your only job, and have it be, you know, stable. I mean, you guys are artists. You're fantastic makeup artists. But you know as well as I do that these are not the businesses that you go into if you want the 9-to-5 steady paycheck kind of thing. That's not
right.
I mean, it just is what it is. And those of us who manage to get some type of stability in it are very fortunate. You know, it's not something that everyone can do. And being a great photographer, what I've learned over the last, I'm not saying I'm a great photographer, I'm just saying things I've noticed, what I think makes a great photographer is, A, someone who can adapt to changing times. Because I've seen this market. Oh, I've seen this market just in the Baltimore, New York, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. area. I have watched this market change dramatically over 10 years. The types of clients that come in and pay for pictures, the equipment has changed dramatically. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the biggest things that has thrown this field in a different direction is the fact now that the average person can walk into a photo store and buy a camera.
Yes.
Much, very affordably. And the same camera that person is now paying $2,000 for, I was renting for $3,500 a week 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the third thing would probably be the social networking has flipped this thing in a whole weird direction. 10 years ago, photography was simple. People talked about who was good, who was pro. When somebody was looking for pictures, they would say, hey, do you know who does headshots? Yes, Roy Cox does headshots. So boom, everybody goes to Roy Cox. That's not the way it is anymore. Now, your average potential client sits down on the computer, pulls up one of 500 different networking websites, and now even networking websites that are specific to makeup, hair, photographers, et cetera, and now they have 8 billion choices in front of them. Whereas it used to be just the ones who were talked about. It's not that way anymore.
But see, not just a billion choices of photographers to choose from, but half a billion who aren't professional and half a billion who aren't good.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But remember, for every level of photographer, there is that person that they that person's good enough for. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yet,
and the
10
years ago,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the reason why that person is good enough for that particular client is because that particular client doesn't really want to pay the money to get the best guy.
Okay. Now you're getting into exactly what has been the biggest change in the field, is that 10, 12 years ago when somebody was looking for professional-level photos, there was two things that came in hand, the guy or woman who knew how to do it, who had the technical know-how, and B, the person who had made the investment in the gear to give you pictures that looked really sharp. So let's say you were a makeup artist, you wanted to get pro pictures of yourself that you were going to use to market yourself. You knew going into it that these pictures are going to cost me something,
mm-hmm.
meaning because they're pro-level pictures. Well, now we started noticing that as of 5 years ago, that's not the way it is anymore. Now, that person will sit down and they want to trade with someone. They want to do, they want to go on one of these model websites and sit down and look at and send out 500 emails to all these different photographers and makeup artists saying, hey, you want to get together and trade and do a shoot. So what has happened is guys like me who make their full-time living in this field, we have to try 10 times harder to justify the $500, that someone pays to show them why it's still different between a pro and a non-pro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things I've really noticed has changed a lot. And we have done so much over the last 10 years to keep this business lucrative in our area, in the Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. area, and to show people that this is not just a hobby for people. There's
right.
people like me who my livelihood depends on how many times I push that button a week.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing is that what a lot of people see these types of businesses is, oh, well, she works a full-time job and does makeup on the weekends. Or he, works for the government and on the weekends he does pictures. They see it as that hobby kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
to show people that it's not a hobby, I mean, you have to bring it nowadays. Like, it's a three-ring circus now you got to put on for people to justify the same money that was, oh, of course it's worth $350 or $800 10 years ago. People wouldn't have questioned that money because it was pro-level. Nowadays, we all have the same gear. It's a matter of who puts on the best show.
Right.
That's how it works. And I mean, and with Photoshop, people are starting to, I mean, think about it. There's so many people now who are shooting just enough of a picture to get it into Photoshop, work a week on it, and then say, hey, here's my picture. So the guy like me, whose client that comes in, I shoot them and I have to have their pictures to them by tomorrow. My untouched pictures have to look like that.
Right.
Because, because I don't sit around at night hobbying at retouching it and then showing somebody my very best work. I have to give them that picture, boom, right away and show them that, hey, all your pictures look like that now. Before
right.
they're even, yeah, and that's what has gotten really difficult. Photoshop gave a lot of photographers the confidence now
mm-hmm.
to just say, hey, I'm pro, I'm putting my shingle out.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my rates or no rates or whatever, whatever. And, what's funny is that I've seen a lot of guys who are my colleagues and competitors, by the way, good, healthy competitors, who said, they'll say to me now, when did $500 become expensive for a whole photo shoot? When did $500 become expensive? And you know what I tell them? It's not. But what happened was, when you were right in the middle of the price range at $500 and everyone went free hobbying at this, now you stand out as being the most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that happen to a lot of people too. A lot of people say, oh, Roy, yeah, he's expensive. Well, the funny thing is, I haven't changed my rates in 10 years.
Right.
I'm not expensive. It's just there's so many people who hobby at it around me for free that I look now expensive because I charge. You know what I mean? Like,
I love that, hobby at it. Now, let me ask you this, because there are so many people.
Oh, you know what? When I say that, I don't mean that in a bad way, because there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. But it's still...
You know, it's just... It's, I know that didn't sound bad, but I don't mean that at all like that, you know.
But, I mean, but there are a lot of people hobbying at that, at makeup, you know, because it's the same
sure.
thing in the makeup industry. There are tons of makeup artists now, especially here in Atlanta. Everybody's a makeup artist.
Everyone's a makeup artist, yeah.
Yeah, the film industry has grown so much that, you know, everybody wants to work with celebrities. Everybody wants their opportunity to work with celebrities now. So everybody's picking up a brush. So do you think that it's kind of a disrespect to the industry in a way that we have so many people hobbying at the craft, because I see photographers all the time, people who they see someone else doing it, they see someone else who's successful at it, and they think, because I know this person, if he can do
I've
it,
seen what they
I,
do,
yeah,
yes,
I do. Wow, and they try to buy the same camera that the person that they know has, and then they go out and they start asking him questions, and then they go and they start buying their own stuff, and then next thing you know, they're at one of these, you know, fake phony events, and they're taking photos of people, and now they're a professional photographer.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you know, in the last year alone, I can literally count maybe 7 to 12 different clients of mine who not only took pictures of my lighting setup at times, went and bought the same equipment, and then called me and asked me if they can come in for a day to watch how I work. But this was the same person paying me to take pictures for them the year before. So, yeah, there are a ton of people doing that very thing. I mean, literally that very thing. Do I think it's disrespectful hobbying at this and kind of like, you know, quickly? No, I don't think it's disrespectful, because when people become interested in something, they have a right to jump into it and, you know, and do it whether they want to do it as a profession or not. It's not like, do I think it should be one of those things where it's like, whoa, there's a lot of people who take makeup seriously. It's their living. There's a lot of people who take photography seriously and, you know, make it their living, so you can't get into this unless you're going to really do it right and be a pro. Well, that's never going to work, but I do think that the average person who is interested in having these services performed, whether it be makeup or photography, does need to sit back and realize that, hey, don't make me overly justify my paycheck because your friend is a hobbyist and is free.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, realize that I pay for an entire facility to make sure that my clients have
right.
an actually commercially zoned place to shoot in. I have changing rooms. I have a full-time staff. I have, meaning, here's where your price difference is. I cannot make your pictures free, nor should they be, because look what we're doing for you here. There are differences.
Right.
And if the average hobbyist, you know, wants to take it that far, I mean, God bless them. That's I can't compete with that. You know what I mean? But the average hobbyist is not going to do that. They're in it for the fun of it. They're in it
mm-hmm.
because they enjoy it. They're not going to take those steps and do those things that I try to explain to my interns is, hey, this is what's really hard about this business. Not the pictures. It's the 18 hours of phone meetings I do a week trying to explain to people the best direction to take their shoot in. I spend more time doing things other than my craft than I do my craft.
Right.
Because that's what makes a real pro a pro, in my opinion. It's someone who really does all these different things to make it a real business. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
And it's really simple, by the way. You know what the bottom line is? It's really simple. A professional gets paid to do something. That's what the word professional means. So if you do not charge for what you do, you are an amateur. And I'm not saying in skill. I'm saying by the way the term is defined. If you charge for what you do, you are a professional. So I think that's where we got to make sure those lines are clear, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with most of what you said, but I do believe there are hobbyists out there who are not doing it just for fun. They're doing it because they think they can, you know, they this can be their career, or they're just trying to make quick money. But whatever the case may be, I think they are cheapening the industry a bit. By,
sure,
you know,
I think, you know, in some cases you're right. Absolutely, sure.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, in that respect, I think that's where it's a disrespect to the industry.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is that, you know, when we get assistants that come in the studio, the first thing that they're required to do before they can start an apprenticeship with us is they sit down and talk to me for upwards of a half hour, 45 minutes, so I can get to know them. The first thing that I tell them is you have two choices before we start this. Is number one, you have to decide what it is you really want to do. And most of the people that come to me are coming to me because they want to be professional photographers. So what I tell them is, here's your choices. Decide what you really want to do. Because you're going to come into this studio, you're going to do everything that I'm required to do to make my living. And at the end of 4 weeks, you might very well decide that this is not for you anymore when you realize how difficult it really is. And because they, you know, they see a couple things I've shot here, a couple things I've shot here, and they're like, oh, that looks so fun, that looks so fun, because they've been hobbying at this, but they don't realize how difficult it really is. And the ones who say, yes, I want to do this for real, are the ones that I know are not in it to make a quick buck. These are not the types of businesses that you are going to do overnight as some quick weekend money-making thing. Not if you're going to do it right. And by the way, not anymore. Because for you to really make decent money in these businesses, this is something that you have got to put your life into. And I mean, you have got to work and work and work, because that's the only way to show people that you are different from that person who just does it on the weekends for fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot involved in this. It really is. And it's just a lot more difficult being a full-time professional than a lot of people would ever think it is.
Absolutely.
You know? Oh, I've had people sit right in front of me and say, yeah, I just really want you to kind of show me how your business is set up and how you like things, because, you know, I'm gonna start my studio next week. I'm like, oh, good luck with that. I mean, this is something I've been developing forever and forever, and we spend every day trying to protect this. So you know what? So I don't not finish your question. What do I think, you know, makes a great photographer is someone who understands that it is a long road, someone who's willing to dedicate their time and their energy to driving down that long road, and then most importantly, someone who treats this field with the respect that it deserves and is willing to change as it changes and willing to deal with the swings of this business. There are dry spells, there are hot spells, and not just that person who wants to call themselves a celebrity something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If I hear one more person call themselves a celebrity photographer, oh my goodness. Oh, goodness. So you done got me started now. Look, now I'm... Well, as you can, I'm very passionate about this business, and it's one of those things where we do see a lot of things at times where I'm like, oh, really? Really, this is happening, and, you know, it just gets frustrating. So, but there's a lot of great things, you know, a lot of great things about it, too. But go ahead, go with your questions before I monopolize the whole thing.
Well, look, let's talk a little bit more about the actual picture-taking photo shoot process. What do you look for when you put together a team of people to actually work on a shoot with you? So when you're looking for, let's say, a makeup artist, a hairstylist, a wardrobe stylist, what are you looking for in those people?
Okay, great question. Number one, you have no idea how many makeup artists I've worked with that are hyped-up makeup artists who I've heard, oh, this person's amazing, they work with this celebrity, they do this, they do that. I don't look for those things. You know what I look for? Did they show up on time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did they show up on time? you would be surprised how many, and I'm putting the little quote fingers up right now, wish you could see them, quote, end quote, how many pro makeup artists, hairstylists, and wardrobe stylists can't even make it to my studio at least 15 to 20 minutes early to make sure that they're set up for a session.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. So that's the first thing I look for in someone new I work with. The second thing is I make sure that if it's me, because a lot of times what happens is we'll get makeup artists contact the studio and say, hey, here's some of my work. If you guys are ever interested in working with me, let me know. And every great once in a while, we'll bring someone new in because we have a roster of makeup artists. Like I have my top three that I use at all times. And then every now and then we'll bring someone new in because we always need some fresh, you know, some fresh work. The second thing I look for is their portfolio, meaning do the pictures look natural enough in the retouching that I can actually see their part of the artwork and not just the smear of the Photoshop? And number two, is it ethnically and stylistically, you know, does it span? Is there some variety in there? Is there Caucasian females, African-American females? You know, is it? I don't want to just see females, by the way. It needs to be some men in there because in my studio, you might work on a 65-year-old Caucasian senator, female, and then the next day you might work on a young African-American girl doing an R&B CD cover. So just because you can make something look all couture doesn't mean you can do some elderly woman's makeup for this or that. And that's where I see a lot of makeup artists fall, is that they can only do that one thing that they've been having fun doing for their book. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yep.
And then the little things, like talking on your cell phone while you're doing makeup on my client. I see it all the time. Or just generally being unprofessional. You're texting the entire time you're doing makeup, and during the actual session, are you attentive? Meaning, are you there to make sure that changes are done when they need to be done? Do you actually appear to be interested in the photo shoot? And even if you don't really care about the subject matter of the photo shoot, as a pro, that doesn't matter. There's so many photo shoots I've done where I'm like, I've shot the same thing 100 times, but they can't know that, and I'm still giving them a great show. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about. And did you make, before a makeup artist leaves, did you ask me, you know, did you give me contact materials to make sure that I can contact you again if we wanted to? And overall, what was your impression? Not just, did you do a great job on the makeup? There's a lot more things involved in that, you know? I've had a couple first-time makeup artists in just last month. Two of them were late of the two that I tried out. I'm like, really? If I have to sit there explaining to my client, which, by the way, makes me look terrible because it's me bringing you in, if I have to explain to them why you're late, that already hurts my reputation.
Right.
So you haven't even done makeup for me yet, and as far as I'm concerned, you're done with me. You know what I mean? Because I was there a half hour, 45 minutes early. Why can't you be there, you know?
Exactly.
So that's the biggest things I look for. Oh, and by the way, when you're doing makeup, were they pleasant with my client? Like, were, you know, did my client actually like you? Were you, interesting? Were you able to talk to my client? I had one makeup artist one time that stood in my studio, and the entire time she was on her Bluetooth with her boyfriend while doing makeup.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, wow.
Well, my client walked in my office and literally said, yeah, well, she was okay if I could get a word in. She was on the phone with her boyfriend. I went, huh? Because I didn't know at the time. And I was like, really? Oh, my goodness. People are fighting so hard to get work, and this is the show that you brought. You know, It's strange to me. It just seems like people would fight a little harder for the work that is out there, you know?
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Now, you mentioned portfolio. What are the key components of creating a great portfolio, in your opinion?
I think, in all honesty, the stuff needs to be relevant to what's happening now. A lot of times when I see makeup artists book, it's this really outlandish stuff that looks like an experimental America's Next Top Model thing, and that's great to have that. Here comes the little quote fingers again, to have that, you know, high fashion stuff in your book, but it needs to be, again, like I was saying before, it needs to be stuff that is really happening. Like, is there some commercial stuff in there? Is there some simple beauty stuff in there, just some simple beauty head stuff? Is there a few headshots that you've done? And if you really span the whole spectrum as a makeup artist, is there a couple wedding looks in there and high fashion stuff? And, you know, and does it span all these different types of people? I'm not saying it has to look like a Benetton ad where every single culture, ethnicity is represented, but we see way too many books where, you know, there's like four women total. And I'm like, well, that really doesn't give me an idea what you can do. You know what I mean? So I really think it needs to be stuff that's really out there now. And one of the biggest things is I never see enough commercial looking photos in people's books. It's usually like outlandish eyelashes and crazy this and crazy that. But that doesn't help me when I'm thinking about hiring you to do a Comcast cable ad. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And by the way, the stuff that really pays well is usually the stuff that's not so sexy looking.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, any pro will tell you that the biggest money makers out there is the stuff that's not the broken back Tyra Banks posed big eyelash stuff. You know what I mean? It's the more simple, smiling University of Maryland billboard that they're going to put up, but that might pay a makeup artist, a really good makeup artist. You know, you might get $500-$800 a day for that in Maryland. That is really good, you know? I just think you have to have a little bit of variety in there. And I know it's hard to get stuff in your book. It's hard to build a book. It's something you'll do over years and years because, you know, we all wish we could just run out and say, oh, give me, you know, three Caucasians and two Asians. And it's not that easy to find people to put in your book. But does it look like you're trying to move in that direction? That's what's important to me, you know? Oh, and please make sure your pictures are not too photoshopped.
Right.
I see a lot of that.
I know. And that's so funny because you see so many people who do such strong makeup. And when I say strong, I don't mean that necessarily in a good way. I just mean like...
in a heavy-handed way, yeah.
Yeah, in a heavy-handed way. I'm glad you threw that word out there before I started really going in describing put in a heavy-handed way, and then it's Photoshopped over the top.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of that, yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, everything looks terrible.
You know, yeah, and every photo on Earth passes through Photoshop, and you know, in all fairness to all the makeup artists out there, they can't always control the back end of the photos. As a matter of fact...
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, you guys are kind of at the mercy of the photographer. Now, in my case, I have an editor. I don't do the photos anymore, and she's very good at coming up with a compromise because some things do need a little assistance, you know. But she's very good at making sure that your artwork is still shown, my artwork is still shown, and the client is still happy overall. So, I mean, I've seen makeup artists come in and I said, oh, wow, that's been Photoshopped. And she goes, I know, I hate it, but it's the only thing I had. The problem is I loved what I did. And, you know, and I can see through bad Photoshopping. I can see still what the makeup artist did. And, you know, and even though the Photoshop makes it a little hard at times. And so I do know that you guys don't really have control because it's usually the photographer that's going to be doing that. And then he gives you the pictures and you're like, oh my God, this thing's Photoshopped, you know, but you know, same thing you guys do. You guys, as makeup artists, one thing I've always been impressed with, some things about you two is that you put forth a lot of effort to put very specific things in your book. And as you know, it is a very lengthy process that you will invest time and money in over a long period of time is designing your book.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So let's say you have that photographer
that you've been working with for a while that you've been trading with, and it's a free situation where you help each other out, and it's not yielding you the type of pictures that you really feel you need to move forward as a makeup artist, well, then maybe you do have to branch out and hire someone that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that way, see, there's the difference. When you hire someone to design, you know, and to do pictures for you as a makeup artist, where you're going to bring in a model, you are now in control, meaning no more of the I get what I get. Now it's a you get what you want because you're paying for it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's a big thing. I've had a couple makeup artists come in my studio from time to time. They're like, yeah, you know, I trade it and got this, and I got a couple good pictures out of it with this guy or this guy. But, and I said, okay, well, what are you looking for from me? They're like, this is the kind of shoot I want to do. This is the way I want it done. And, you know, so God bless it. I mean, they're paying for it because they don't want it to be up for chance. They're willing to invest in it to get it the way they want it to be and not have it be like, oh, it's just what I was given from this guy and that's the way it is. I mean, just remember, I mean, I'm not saying everyone can afford to do that, but you have to remember that as a makeup artist, it is your business. Just like I would purchase a camera, you are investing in, you know, portfolio images.
Right.
There's times where I have spent a great deal of money on orchestrating photo shoots that are specifically for my website. And I'm a photographer, meaning it's probably easiest for me to pull resources than it is for you guys to pull photo-based resources. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have all the gear. I have models that can come in. But you know what's funny is there's been many times where I will hire models, hire a makeup artist to do something just for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need it done a certain way. And it's very difficult to find that model. You know, the biggest thing about portfolios and the biggest thing about this entire business, it all boils down to the model. The model is everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is everything. And there's a lot of times where doing trade shoots, you know, you might get someone you really like, you might get, or you might not. And there's times where I'm like, I'm looking for a specific type of look because it's the only thing going to make this shoot that I want to do for myself work. And we have literally put together money to hire the right model for the job because all the hours of makeup and hair and wardrobe and the clothes that were pulled, everyone's time, is it really worth it if the model's not going to work out just because you were trading with this person?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, there's been times where I'm like, okay, I just did three shoots. I made X amount of money. I'm going to take 50% of what I just made, and I'm going to reinvest it in my book because that will make me more money down in, you know, in the long run. I need a high-end looking model because that will get me better work. I've done that many times years ago, many times. You know?
Wow.
You don't always have to be, you know, just getting handed whatever it is you end up getting handed. I mean, there was one time where I spent thousands on a particular single model because it was, I really wanted this to be a very, very high-end shoot to show a client that was interested in me that I could do his shoot. It was a gamble, and it paid off. Not only did the one I did for myself turn out great, but I got his campaign for 2 years.
Oh, nice.
I made my money back that I put into the shoot, and God knows how many other people were, you know, I've had a few people along that year that were like, hey, you did this particular shoot that I saw. Can you give me prices on this campaign I'm looking to have done? And they would specifically mention those pictures, and I'm like, wow, I did that for myself. Mm-hmm. That was something I invested in for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yep.
Your listeners are going to be like, this dude's crazy.
No. Oh, no, they're appreciating all the information you're giving.
Well, you know, what we get asked most is how do you even get started in this? Like, how do you do this? How do you – and a lot of the things that, you know, I'm talking about with you guys right now, these are all some of the important steps of kind of getting going. And by the way, a lot of this stuff is stuff that the average person is not going to put the energy into doing. So these are how you really, really get along quickly. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
This is, in my opinion, what pros do. You, just like a company would invest in themselves, you know, or invest in employees or equipment or whatever, we do the same thing all the time. Sometimes we invest in imaging. Sometimes we invest in our image, meaning, you know, what kind of public kind of image do I have over the last year? You know, is there something we can do to make us more popular in this market? Or, you know, and then, okay, how much money can we invest in doing that? You know, we run this like a business, not just like a, hey, let's take some pictures, you know.
Well, and it worked out.
I mean, I've been there 10 years, and we haven't had to shut the doors yet, so it's been working, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Roy, what is the one thing that you would share with other photographers and other artists as well about your industry that you would want them to know? Is there one thing that you would want others to know that you feel is important about your industry?
I would think one thing that I see a lot of is a lot of artists, photographers, hair and makeup people, they're very concerned with what other hair and makeup people are doing and other photographers are doing, meaning, well, who's that guy? What's he shooting? What's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she worked on this client. That used to be my client. And this, do you know the best thing that I ever did for myself? When I started a long time ago, I used to get online and start on through websites. And it gives you that feeling. You know that feeling you get where you're like, oh, God, this guy's good. Oh, he's going to put me out of business. He's, oh, my God, there's one of my clients on his website. It's a, you know, you start freaking out. Like, I used to do that girl's makeup, and this is ridiculous, and I don't know why she didn't come to. You are starting a downward spiral that will never end for you, and you will never feel okay with competition as far as you're never going to be like, oh, that girl's an amazing makeup artist right in my own backyard. Oh, why don't I just take her to lunch? That's just wonderful. No, you are never going to feel that way. It's always going to be that little thing in your stomach where you feel threatened all the time, especially, and that's the difference. One of the big things that a lot of hobbyists don't realize is that when your livelihood, I mean, my mortgage, my car, depends on photography. When that's the case, you do want to protect your ship. I hear a lot of people come in my studio that chat about other makeup artists. They chat about other hair people. Well, you know, she did say she did this and she did the best thing that you could ever do is stop talking about other people and stop worrying about other people. Put your head down and worry about you. I stopped looking at other people's work. Everybody, when they start, you know, you get very influenced by other people's work, but almost to a fault at times, you know, you get so into how good this guy is and how good this guy is that you almost want to make your work look like this person or this person. And that's one of the worst things you can do. It's okay to be influenced by somebody that you respect or whose work you admire, but the best thing that I ever did was turn off the outside world, meaning I stay so private in what I do as far as I'm not concerned about who else is shooting pictures. I couldn't care less about who, you know, who's making more money than me, who's making less money. Oh, my God, this guy used to be an intern and now he's a photographer. Oh, you know, because that's, you can't control everything in the world that's out there. But I have noticed that people will be more concerned with you when they don't hear you talking about what they're doing.
Exactly.
They will get very concerned as to why you're no longer interested in who they did makeup on or who they did hair on, because then they're thinking, well, what's she got going on for herself? if now she doesn't care that I do this or do this. You know, that's the worst. The funny thing is that I remember many a times I would get a really good model or a really popular actor in the area who was starting to do well for him or herself, and I would look in their book, and let's say they shot with me in 2004, they would all of a sudden come back to me in 2007, and I would see two or three of my competitors had added images to their book. Well, you can't sit there and say, well, I don't understand why they didn't just come to me and come to me. We're all colleagues in this business, and people want variety. You cannot be, you know, miserable because one of your clients strayed from the pack and went and shot with one of your competitors or went and did makeup with one of your competitors. You are going to lose as many clients and as many individuals as you gain, and it's going to be a thing that flips all the time. I had a guy one time ages ago that showed up at my studio and said, hey, I used to do such and such. This dude knocked on my door. We were working, and I said, I thought he was one of my clients waiting for the next shoot, and he wasn't. He was some photographer who had worked on an account for years that all of a sudden I now have, and he was there to ask me why I think he lost that account. And you know what I did? I took him outside and I said, dude, do you know how many people I've shot and how many businesses I've worked with that I've never heard from again? I have never heard from again. But do you know how many people I've shot that come to me twice a year, three times a year, every other year? I mean, loyal. Mm-hmm. And how many new accounts I've picked up. Every time that I shoot an account, someone else used to shoot it. And I mean, okay. And then there's someone out there shooting something that I used to shoot, whether it's they're cheaper than me or that person just liked their work better. You are not always going to keep everything you get, and you're not always, you know, going to have your face in the sun. You're going to go through some hard times where, you know, you lose clients and this and that, but you can't get into that thing where you start worrying about what's going on out there. If you dedicate your time and energy instead of worrying about things like this, you need to worry more about, well, what's in my book and what's on the schedule for me this year and what can I do to make me a better artist, reach out to 10 more people. I used to sit down every single day when I didn't have much work. I would sit down every single day and say, okay, I quit my job to do this, so I don't have a choice. I have got to do something to make this work. I used to take 6 hours every day and sit in my house because I didn't have any clients at the time and say, what can I do for the next 6 hours to better this business? Because you know how hard it is to be self-managed, and that's one of the biggest problems people have when they become self-employed is they don't know how to manage themselves because you no longer have a boss. They get sidetracked, and next thing you know, you're not really doing much but waiting for something to just come and jump on your lap and say, hey, you want to get on a plane and do Oprah's makeup. You know what I mean? It's not going to work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed that once I started really focusing on me, stop worrying about who was out there, stop worrying about who was better than me. And by the way, for anyone out there who thinks that they are the best at what they do, good luck with that one because there is always someone way. I have seen people's pictures where I'm like, wow, that guy is phenomenal, and why does he live on Earth? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, and no, he doesn't only live on Earth. He's 38 miles from me. That's wonderful. You know what I mean? Like, it's. And you know what's crazy is? There's going to be people who don't like his work, and they like mine better. And there's people who, I don't want to go to Roy. I want to go to this guy this time. That is the way this business is supposed to work. When people are serious about having a service provided, they will do that service all the time. Like a singer who gets her makeup done 12 times a year, it might not always be with the same makeup artist. There is enough work to go around, trust me. There is.
Right.
You just got to know how to find it. But it is out there. But we just hear, you know, this competition is what makes us all want to really be better and better every day. And by the way, it's what keeps us, you know, working really hard. If there was no competition, I would just jack my prices up to $10 million a session and sit around being like, deal with it. You don't have a choice. I'm the only photographer in the world. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's not how it works. And we just see way too many people where they're like, hey, do you know that that shoot that I did with you? Like, I had a makeup artist about 6 months ago. I'll never forget this girl. She sat there and said, you remember we did that one girl in here that one time? Well, you know who she's shooting with now? Oh, yeah, she's shooting. And I was like, who? What are you talking? That is exactly what I don't want in here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I said, who cares? Yeah, well, you know, we could have had that shooting. And I said, who cares? She obviously left us for a reason. So
right.
Let her go. You know? And the other thing I see a lot of people doing too, and this is a huge piece of advice for, especially for people who are trying to figure out where they need to be price point wise. The worst thing you could ever do is give people rates, good, strong, competitive rates, realistic rates, by the way, and then have that person say, oh, I can't afford that. I'm going to have to go elsewhere. And then have you go, oh, well, no, I'm just kidding. I can make it whatever you need it to be. That's not how this is supposed to work. You have to believe in the prices you put out there that they're fair and they're realistic. And if someone can't afford them or they don't want to shoot with you because of a certain price, you don't wig out and start changing your rates to, you know, you let them go. Let them go. If you don't believe in your own rates, no one else is ever going to believe in it.
Exactly.
That's right.
I'll never forget I had a makeup artist one time. She quoted me some astronomical rate, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, that's way too much for this project that we're doing. And it wasn't I was looking for below fair. I'm talking about she quoted me like $2,000 for 6 hours. It was absurd, and it was like headshots or something like that. And I said, yeah, that's way, you know, that's just not what I'm looking to pay for this. So the crazy thing is I said, you know, maybe we can do something at another time, but I can't afford that on this one. Do you know that 2 hours later she called me back and said, well, I mean, we could do like 300 then, I guess. And I said, huh? Mm. You just said $2,000, now it's 300? That lets me know that those prices, not only are they not real, but she doesn't have any real faith. She doesn't think she's worth $2,000. She just shouted that out to see if I would pay it. But I get people all the time who are like, oh, you know, I can't do 400. I can't do 200. I can't do 500. And I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. We know what we give people for our prices. They are very well thought out. They are not just numbers shouted out. And if someone cannot do that price, well, that's fine. I mean, that's totally fine. It's understandable. Not everybody, I mean, there's things I can't afford and so on and so forth, and someone might not want to pay it. But whatever you do, have faith in your rates. Plan them, you know, the way you need to plan them. Take in consideration what you feel you do for people, and then stick by them. Every job you lose,
right,
you will get another one. You will get another one, you know?
Right. That's right.
I see a lot of wishy-washy rates. That's why I made that, you know, made that comment. That is a very good piece of advice for both photographers, hair, makeup stylists, things like that. You know, it's and stay consistent with your rates. Don't be $300 this week and $800 next week for the same exact type of shoot. You know, it's just weird. It doesn't establish any consistency and professionalism in you. You know.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, Rory, we have come to the end of our show. We could really do this again because there were so many other questions I could have asked, but you don't want
to
hold
it
any
too
longer.
Much your time.
Oh, my God. We hope you didn't take your time. We know it's kind of late for you, so we don't want to hold you up much longer,
yeah.
But we really appreciate it.
Well, I wanted to thank both of you, the infamous beauty twins, for having me on. It's the least I could do. Least I could do for you guys. And believe me, anytime that we get a chance to share any of this information with people, we really love to, because it's an amazing, amazing business that we wish a lot more people would take an interest in and really, really try to become professional in. You know.
Right. Oh my
so
God!
Anything we could
Roy,
ever
there,
do for you. Yeah?
Roy, there are people who are asking, do you teach? They would love to see you do a class.
Oh, you know,
and
it's
these are makeup artists talking.
You know what? Everything we do in that respect is totally free, and people can call us, email us via the website. I'd be happy to answer any questions they have, give them any advice on marketing themselves, doing whatever they want. Every person I can give good info to, we would love to, yes.
All right, I'll call you later this
week. Absolutely.
All right, okay.
So one last question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Two last questions, actually. I'm going to ask Roy this question first, and then you can get to that one. How about those Ravens, Roy?
Oh, you don't want to bring up the Ravens. That was the best. That was the most exciting football game. I'm going to make this short and sweet so I don't take up your time. That was the most exciting game that I have ever watched in my life. And we,
yes.
You know, I want to say we're going all the way, but I'm scared
I'm gonna
to death
say
of Tom
it. We're
Brady.
Going, we're going all the way. I'm not scared of Tom Brady.
You know how I just said don't be worried about who's out there in your
that's
competition?
Right.
Well,
that's
I'm worried
right.
about
that's
Tom
right.
Brady.
No, don't worry about him. Don't worry
can
about
I
him.
Just say one thing about Ray Lewis. What a way, even if we just get to the AFC playoffs, what a way for him to end his career. And I was so fortunate to be able to shoot him twice.
I know. I love those photos. They're some of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness. I spent time in his house shooting him. He is by far, and I'm not saying this because he's Ray Lewis, you know how pro athletes can be. They're not always the easiest people to get along with. Ray Lewis, you would never know that man has accomplished what he's accomplished. He was like shooting some friend I've known for years. He was unbelievably amazing, and now I feel super lucky to have ever even met the guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, you know, Roy, I don't know if you, well, you probably don't know, but my sister does this football blog. And I was saying to somebody the other day, because she's interviewed a lot of professional football players, and I was like, you know, this would be so great if she could interview her favorite player, Ray Lewis, as he's retiring. I really wish she could find a way to make that happen. So
I
she
will
has
do
work to
everything
do.
In my power to see what I will call a couple people that might be able to help you with that.
Okay. That would
now,
be great.
I'm getting kind of teary-eyed because I didn't know my sister was going to say all this. That is so sweet.
I'm getting teary-eyed because I think I just suddenly became a weird third twin honorary sister. I don't know. You know, I've known you two for a long time. You two are a very interesting pair. You're way too smart for your own good. You're way too talented for your own good. And for those out there who have never actually met you, they are definitely missing something. Trust me. It is, we deal with a lot of people, and believe me, we wish more were like you. So.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Roy.
Our very, very last question, Roy, is what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? Honestly, not to give a weird answer, but I think it's more of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the way you look at something or hear something that's, you know, it's a way something stimulates senses and gives you a certain feeling. And it can come in a whole bunch of different forms. And in this business, it's kind of categorized how it comes, whether it comes via, you know, the clothing or the makeup or the whole entire package. It's, you know, I really think it's a feeling. There's been days where I remember why I started doing this. I mean, you know, when anybody, you know how they say be careful what you wish for? There's a lot of days where I'm shooting and I'm like, oh, God, I'm so tired of doing the same thing, you know, because it's work. People don't realize that it's not always fun anymore like it used to be. It's work. It's a job you go to and do. And every now and then I'll sit there and I'll look through the camera and I'll see something and it'll make me feel that I get all giddy about it. And you have seen this where I'll turn around and say, that's it. That's why I started doing what I started doing. It's worth the long days. It's worth the headaches. It's worth the difficult people at times and the weird trends in business and, oh, my God, what's happening? And everyone's free nowadays. You know, it's worth it. And to me, that's what beauty is, I guess. I mean, I guess that's how I define it, is when I look at something and go, wow, that just made me feel kind of weird, and it reminded me of when I started doing this. you know?
Right.
Anybody out there that is in this business will find that if when they go pro and they do this all the time, you find yourself doing a lot of the things you have to do job-wise instead of all the things you want to do like it was when you first started. And every now and then you'll get one of those shoots or you'll get one of those clients who, you know, you'll sit there and look at the work you did and you're so proud of it, regardless of what they think. You're so proud of it, and, you know, you to me, that's what I can stand back and say, that's just, it's just beautiful. I told a girl the other day, I said, this picture is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And she's like, you know, it's nobody ever really appreciates what you do as much as you do.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because that means you still love what you do. It really is. It's a great thing. That's how I would describe it, I think. And people are like, wow, that was the weirdest answer I've ever heard.
No. We've had various answers to that question. I mean, you know, and it's all about what you believe it is. So, no, it's not weird at all.
It's a feeling. It really is. It hits people in different ways. And it's few and far between for me where I find something truly beautiful where it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't explain to you how this makes me feel right now. And, you know, it comes in all weird ways, a simple makeup thing, a simple hair thing, or a shot, the way something came together, or something that, you know what, something that wasn't supposed to be so great that turned out really, really great. There's some photos I've taken that I held on to that were never supposed to amount to anything that ended up being my very, very, very favorite stuff. There's a picture on my website of a dog in a coat. And that shoot to me meant more to me than a lot of things that I've been a part of, because that to me was beautiful. It just gave me that same feeling. And I know it. It's like, and now I chase that feeling like adrenaline. It's like, I need to feel that again. I want something that looks like this or looks like this. And, you know, and when you get paid to do this, you get the luck of the draw. You know, you get whatever you have to do that day. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it don't. And it doesn't. And that's what I think is fun about this, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're like, yeah, that's not really my question, but keep talking. These people are going to be like, I didn't bring enough battery in my iPad for this.
Oh, trust me, Roy, by Wednesday, we'll probably have over 1,000 downloads of this show.
Oh, my goodness.
Easily.
Well, if anybody can find any morsel of anything in there that helps them. You know, one of the biggest things, too, is that when I first started doing this, nobody would help me. They were so protective. Photographers were so protective of what they did. Nobody would let me in their studio. And now we've had over 500 people come through the studio as assistants in the last 10 years. Makeup artists, stylists who spent a few days with us here and there. And anybody who wants to see what we do, as long as their intentions are legitimate, they're not in it for the quick, cheap buck, or just to start some kind of franchise, you know, we want them to see what we do. We want them to see how this business, you know, can be and how much work it is, and allow them to stick their toe in the water before they go head over heels like I did and jump into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend doing that.
It was a
dangerous gamble that I did. I mean, I literally quit my job and then said, this is what I'm going to do. But it's different nowadays. It's a little harder to do that nowadays. And I think when, you know, people like us who allow people to come in their studio, I mean, I take pictures at times, turn the camera around and say, here's all my settings, here's how I did it, and this is how I lit it.
Wow.
Because what's it matter? What does it matter? Everybody gets so protective over their stuff, but there's only one Roy Cox. There's only one of that guy. There's
Please
only
say
one.
That again. Please say that
well,
again.
Well, and I don't mean because somebody's going to be like, Jesus, he said there's only one of him, you know. That's
but
not what
true.
I mean. But it doesn't matter. We all, by the way, you know, 80% of us in my competition market, we all use the same gear. But notice
right.
how all of our pictures look different It's because every one of us is going to do it a different way. So who cares if I show you the settings on the camera or where my lights are?
Right.
Nope. And that goes back to what I was saying before, where people come to me for pictures because they like me. They like to get their photos from me, whether it be they like the way I handle the shoot with them or the way I pose them or the pictures themselves or a combination of all that. Same thing as a makeup artist. I mean, what do you think? You're the only person on earth who's ever used MAC makeup on this girl? No, it's it doesn't work that way. But maybe they like the way you talk to them, the way you apply it, the certain tools you use, how quick or not quick you
mm-hmm.
are. And so who cares if people see what's in your makeup kit? It doesn't
right.
mean you're ever going to use it like you do, ever. You know?
Right. Right.
And believe me, well, your style in particular, I mean, I've never seen somebody have that exact style, and that's what makes your stuff your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So mm-hmm. we're very public about what we do when people inquire about it, because I feel, you know, if we can take time to help someone else enjoy this business or take a shot at this business, God bless it. It's awesome.
Right. Right. Because
yeah,
your clients are still your clients. And I think the most important thing about all of that is each person, whether it's photographers or hairstylists or makeup artists or models or whoever, each person has to put in the work themselves. So whatever it is that
yep.
you do, if you makeup, you still have to work at your craft yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if, you know, the next person has the same stuff as you. You have to do the work. You know, you have to develop those skills.
And, you know, it's funny. One time I had this intern who had come from this really prestigious photo program, and the whole time we were shooting, I was shooting my schedule that day, and he was one of the interns in the room. He kept saying over and over again, well, if I had Roy's camera, if I had Roy's lights, if I had Roy's – but over and over it was the camera. If I had that lens and that camera – oh, I mean, how could his pictures not look like that? I got so annoyed that I took at the time. He had this little Nikon, I think it was like a D40 or something like that. It wasn't a beast of a camera, but it was a good, decent camera. I took mm-hmm. his camera and finished the rest of my workday with it. And it took me 30 seconds to go into the camera, flip
mm-hmm.
a few settings, and the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the best part about it was is that when I turned the camera around to him and continued the last part of the outfit that I was working on before I switched the camera, he said, those pictures look identical to what was just on your camera. I said, no, it's me that's taking the pictures, not the camera.
Not the camera.
This camera is not. I tell people that all the time. The camera does nothing but prove that I was there that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm the one who takes the pictures, and that's the name on the door is what people pay for.
Absolutely.
That's what they pay for. I've never had a client come in and say, oh, my God, I came to you because you just got that Canon lens. I've never had somebody say, oh, can I see your camera because this other guy had this camera, and I want, you know, I'm here because you have this camera. My clients could not care what I shoot their thing on as long as it looks like a Roy Cox photo.
Right.
That's what they're paying for, or this guy's photo, or so on and so forth. And I think more people need to remember that. You don't get caught up in the gear or the makeup or the... Now, granted, we all need the tools that we need, and you shouldn't be out-equipped by somebody, because to some clients, those things do matter. When you roll in with a change purse full of makeup, it matters, okay? Meaning, you know, versus the girl who comes correct with the proper tools. But once you have the proper tools, believe me, it's how you use them.
That's
you
right.
know, so
right.
you guys run a really good thing here. This is a really good show. I think you could help a lot of people with this.
We try.
Yeah.
Well,
we
I
really
wish there would have been something like this a long time ago when I was getting into this, because it's, you know, it's interesting to listen to people talk about things, you know, that I would be looking to do and maybe keep me from making some mistakes. You know, that's my big thing with my interns is if I can keep them from making any of the same mistakes I did, then I've accomplished something, you know?
Right, exactly.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Really, thank you, girls, so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Roy.
And come back.
Oh, no, I'm calling every night at 10 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. I'd be like, hey, listen, I don't care who's doing the show. So anyway, I had another thought. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, feel free. We don't mind.
So tomorrow morning, there'll be, like, no hits on my website. People will be like, okay, I thought that guy was something, and now he's the weirdest man I've ever heard. Okay, great. It's so weird. I'm like, and then I sit there and think, Aaron's like, who wants to hear you talk about it? And I'm like, I don't know.
Trust me, there are people who want to hear.
if the Ravens win, I am calling into your show again.
Please do.
And I'd be like, I don't care if you're talking about Ravens just wanted to say hi. Peace out, Atlanta.
you mean when the Ravens win?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yes.
When the Ravens win.
And I promise you, I will make those phone calls to try to get you a little closer to, I can't promise I can, but I'll try to get you a little closer to Ray Lewis, I promise.
I appreciate that.
And you could always just, you know, pull up to his house and run through the gates and see how far you make it.
No, I wouldn't. No, look, I'm not a crazy woman. I'm not trying to go to jail.
But I will say this, for all, of all people to be your favorite player, you've picked a good one because that man's something else. He really is. He's a true legend. He really is. And
I
I'm
have
so
two,
thankful he's
two,
from Baltimore.
I have two favorite athletes, and for years, Cal Ripken was my all-time favorite until the Ravens came along.
And oh, that's awesome.
It's Ray Lewis and Cal Ripken, two of just my favorite people in the world, not just athletes, but two of my favorite people.
I'm not going to lie. There's not many things that make me absolutely weep like a child, but number one was when Cal Ripken did his 21-31 game. I cried like a small child who broke his leg. And number two was not the game that just passed, but the one before it, when he ran out of the tunnel.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was in my living room with my wife going, I love a guy so old. When he was doing his dance and all, because can you just imagine how he felt? I'm serious. I was full on weeping, and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm saying, well, you know, his dad is so, he accomplished so much. He's got a robotic arm. It's just, it's crazy.
But, you know, people are Ray Lewis fans, not just because of football, but because of the man he's become and, you know, and the work that he does in the community and things like that, not just because he's so great at his position.
Well, that's the thing. The guy is a friggin' hero. He makes people in Baltimore so proud of who he is and so proud of what he's done. And I have never heard but amazing things from other pro football players that are like, I've even had people say, oh, you shot Ray Lewis. Man, wow, that must have been cool. And they were like somebody ridiculous, like the tight end of the Falcons. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Somebody who was equally kind of cool in my eyes. And they're like, dude, you shot Ray Lewis. That's awesome. I got to play against him so-and-so. It was amazing. I always want to meet him. And I'm like, well, do you realize who you are? You know? And
right.
But they...
Right.
It's crazy. People are more, at times, I think, responsive to Ray Lewis coaching them on the field than they are the coach, you know?
Yeah. And it's like when I interview some of the football players, and especially if they are defensive guys, I'll always ask the question, if you were on the other side of the ball, meaning if you were on the offense, which player are you most afraid of? And almost everybody has said Ray Lewis.
Wow. You know, when I shot the United Way campaign, he's a big United Way supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did the United Way campaign with him, I had three interns with me that day, and they all wanted to go, of course, because we were shooting one of the Ravens. And I had shot Ray at his house maybe, I kid you not, maybe a full year before this. And I was like, oh, this is awesome, I get to shoot. Because we didn't know who the athlete was going to be. We just knew it was going to be one of the Ravens. And you might have seen this. This was that Ray Lewis United Way billboard in the white T-shirt that said Live United. You've probably seen those campaigns. They have pro football players in them. And we did 2 years ago. And I hadn't seen him in a year. We're not friends. Like, I don't know this guy. I know this guy because I shot him that day. And when he walked in the room, he goes, oh, Roy Cox, cool. And I went, what? He remembered my name. And before he left, I said, thank you so much, Ray, for your time, because he had very little time. We only had like an hour with him, and because he was super busy, and they were also doing TV spots, so he had to be out on the field for that. We were at the Ravens facility, the one here in Baltimore or in Maryland, and he walked up to every one of those interns, shook their hand, and said, I'm Ray Lewis. Thanks so much for helping out today. Who does that? Like, who does that? That's, and I swear, I almost got tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh, thank God he's everything I wanted him to be. Because I've shot pro players where I'm like, really, dude, you just killed my dream.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They weren't that guy I thought they were going to be that I idolized, or I was like, oh, God, I love watching that guy play. Ray Lewis was that guy. I remember one of the interns that after Ray shook his hand, he was like, oh, my God, that guy was cool. Like, he took the time to make sure that everybody in that room knew that he appreciated what they did for him. And it's not for him. I mean, he's, you know, we're doing our job, and he's like, I appreciate every one of you being here doing this. And that's the kind of guy he is. He doesn't complain. Oh, do we have to do this again? We have to do this again. He did whatever I told him to do. He asked if this is the way it needs to be done. Is that good enough? Do you need me to do this again? And then he thanked me, and he walked out the door. Awesome. Mm. Awesome. It doesn't get much better than that, you know?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
And that's why I really, truly believe he deserves whatever he accomplishes, especially in these next 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So I'm glad somebody else is pulling for him too. So that's awesome. Yeah, cool. Very cool. I hope you can meet him eventually.
So throw out your website for everyone to go out and check out your work.
The website is www.4optic.com/optic.com, or you can just Google Roy Cox and you will find a bunch of different links to different things that'll get you there. So, and feel free to email or call our office studio. My office manager's name is Erin, and she can answer any questions you guys have.
And what about Twitter, Facebook?
I think we're on there, but we don't spend much stuff on there. Do my stuff on there. I'm not much of a moment-to-moment guy. I'm too boring for all that. But we are on Facebook. I think it's Roy Cox Photography or Roy Cox Studio. If you Google Roy, it's Roy Cox Photography on Facebook. Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, professional SL now. I don't do any of that stuff. Erin is like the one who does all that, and she's much better at it. Every time I go to put some on Facebook, she's like, don't touch that again. Yeah, that's, don't do that. I'll be like, but I want to put a picture on the website. And she's like, yeah, don't do that. I'll take care of that.
And before we go, Roy, I just wanted to say thank you again for your tips the other week, you know, your camera tips the other week. It just really made me look at my camera a whole lot differently. And so, you know, now I really
because then you won't ever, you know, want my photos again. So you'd be like, yeah, I got real good. I don't need you anymore. Thanks. Oh, and thanks for doing our show. Those last
Exactly.
Help you become a pro.
I thought I was a photographer before, but now I really think I'm a photographer now, so watch out.
Well, you know what it is? Sometimes you just need somebody to look at something as an outsider and be like, hey, push that button right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do it. I do that with people all the time. I'm like, well, you know, if you turn this on, it'll work better,
right.
You know?
It might work better.
One time when they're trying so hard, yeah, to do something, you overthink it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you take
exactly.
the lens cap off, if you take
okay,
the lens
cap
off. My editor, my photo editor, is so good at photo editing. I taught her Photoshop 9 years ago, and now she is way better than I ever was or ever will be. And
she's awesome.
Oh, she's amazing. Her name is Mandy Strong, and she's unbelievably gifted. As a matter of fact, she's so good that now Under Armour uses her all the time. And
she is very good.
Well, what's funny is, though, is that, like, she'll retouch 500. I mean, she averages with us between 250 and 500 images a week she retouches for me. And, I mean, it's insane. And she's always on time, and they always look perfect. But every now and then, she'll have this really complicated thing where she, like, did one of the Under Armour jerseys and changed the whole pattern and did this, but there's like a bucket still in the shot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Mandy, there's a giant bucket in the corner of the shot that you forgot to take out. She's like, oh, I didn't even see that. But she removed the razor burn at 100 yards and forgot the bottom of the light can. Yeah, sometimes you just need fresh eyes. You know what I mean?
Well,
you just
focus
on the wrong detail.
One thing I wanted to point out about Mandy earlier when you were talking about her retouching, the one thing about her that's really good is if you don't want a lot of retouching, you can always, you know, when you're working with her, you can always say, you know, I don't want it over retouched, and I just want, you know, this taken care of or that taken care of. And she does exactly what you ask for. I mean, your photo comes back.
And you know what?
Exactly.
That's why Mandy's a pro. You know what? This is one more thing I want to say is that Mandy and myself, one, she'll tell you the same thing. The biggest difference in being pro and doing this for fun is that when I'm being paid to do a shoot, the only thing I'm concerned about is what my client wants. But whereas you're doing it for fun, it's what you want. You know what I mean? And Mandy will give you Mandy's style, the same level of professionalism, but it's what you want. So if you're like, oh, I want this less edited, or I want this, or I want this or this, that's exactly what and how Mandy's going to do it, and then put her own twist on it instead of being like, well, I don't do that. This is the way I do it.
Right.
You've had makeup artists come in the studio where somebody was like, I don't want my lips that color, and they're like, well, you don't know. I mean, you don't know. This is the color. Whoa, you need to slow your roll.
Right.
Like, every single person who's good at what they do has a little tiny bit of, you know, attitude, because that's what gives you some flex. It's just like pro football players and all those people. That's why they talk trash on the field. But the bottom line is, it's a team sport here. And when you're being paid to do something, your client comes first. So if they're like, I don't want that pink stuff on my lips, then the bottom line is you need to figure out a way to still get your look across and make sure that they are happy, you know?
Right.
You stand up for yourself, but you make sure that they're happy. I'll have people that will say, really, you're going to use this black behind me instead of this? And I'll say, yeah. Instead of just going, oh, my God, you don't like that, I can change it. You never do that. You always stand up for what you want to do, because a lot of times people don't, I mean, they're paying me because I know more about this than they do. That's why they're hiring me. But if they plain and simple say, oh, you know what, I want to go white instead, or I want to go this, at the end of the day, they're paying the bills. I mean, they have the right to do that. And some people get so offended when a client wants to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, and we all take our work personally, and we feel attacked at times, but you just have to remember that you're no longer doing this just for fun. You're doing this for someone, and when you take their money, you are now obligated to them, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's why it's called a service. You are providing a service.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I had a client walk over my office one time with some makeup artist I didn't know, and like, yeah, this isn't really going so well. She said that she refuses to make my lip any other color than what she wants. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting way to do business. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, very interesting, you know. And you can say to people, well, you know, I don't think that's going to look as good, or I really recommend this. But bottom line, you're there for them. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have really seriously been great, and thanks for letting me share all this madness with you.
Thank you. We really enjoyed
thank
it.
You. Absolutely.
And I'm so, I live such a rock star lifestyle that this is the latest, and for anybody who's not in the Eastern time zone, it is 10:30. I don't think I've been up this late in about 3 years. So this is like how hard I've worked. You know what I mean? You can, I got very old and very boring very quickly. So, yeah. It's crazy. Well, you know, and because of this business, it's funny, though. I do go to bed between about 8 and 9, and I get up between 3 and 4 every morning.
Really?
Oh, wow.
How
oh, yeah. When
get...
it gets to be 10:30, I'm like, it's full on, like, party. You know what I mean?
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. And so how early do you have to be at work in the morning?
Well, I usually start... what happens is I got tired of a lot of times commercial shoots start, you know, I have to be on the set really early. And
yeah.
I got tired of kind of feeling crappy at 5 a.m. So, and I can't be miserable at 5 a.m. And I've taken interns on shoots before where you can't even speak to them until like 8. They're just miserable. Why can't it be that way in front of my clients? So I got so used to being able to function well early that my body just changed to where I just naturally, I have never set an alarm for a shoot, by the way. I always
wow.
wake up, boom, 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm so paranoid about being late for a big shoot that I just kind of program myself to be a morning person. So now when it gets to be about 9, 10 o'clock at night, I start to turn into a pumpkin. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Right.
My wife is like, what are you, 80? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want to eat dinner at 4? It's like me at 38. I'm like the guy at Denny's who eats dinner at 4 o'clock and gets, like, the special. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, even my own mother, she lives in Florida. She comes up and visits and is like, oh, well, you should take me to dinner. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, we are. I made reservations at 5 at this place. And she's like, what? We don't even, I'm retired in Florida and we eat dinner at 7, you know? She goes, yeah, what the hell happened to you? I said, photography happened to me.
Oh, God. That is
oh,
so
oh, wow.
May you have a wonderful guest on your show next time to negate this crazy interview I just did.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah,
you're gonna have
good.
One download on iTunes, and it'll be my mom. She'd be like, "That's my boy." Oh, I'm so proud. And
aww.
Don't ever tell people ever again your whole life story.
Well, Roy, give Aaron our love,
and we will be talking with you soon. We really do appreciate you joining us tonight and staying that extra half hour on the show, which is probably an hour and a half later than you would normally be up, but thank you anyway.
No problem at all.
So have a very good night and have a great week.
Yeah. I will too. You guys need anything at all, you just call on us and let us know. And thanks for doing such a good thing for people with this show. And thanks for having me on. So I will see you guys next time.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you, Roy.
Take care, ladies. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight and for staying an extra half an hour. Listen to us rant and rave about our Ray Lewis and our Baltimore Ravens. We're just all very excited about it. So thank you for staying on with us and for your continuous support of Beauty Talk. Again, stay with us for next week's show. We're going to have Donna Mee. And tell them really quick what the topic is again.
Oh, it's basically how to market yourself, marketing for freelance artists.
Yes, Donna wanted to come on and talk about marketing for freelance artists, so she will be back next week. And then we'll let you know next week who we have lined up for the next few weeks. But I did mention about our next panel discussion, and that's about knowing your worth. So we want to stay tuned for that in a couple of weeks as well. Again, if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Tell everybody about Beauty Talk, and we'll see you back here again next Sunday night at 9 o'clock p.m. sharp. Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.